Welcome to Food is Not a Four-Letter Word, the podcast where you ditch the diet drama, banish body shame, and reclaim your life, all while creating a body you love. When it comes to body drama, your host, Carmela Ramalia, has been there, done that, has the t-shirt, and wrote the books. And now, here's Carmela.
Hello, hello, my friends. It's me, Carmela, from Happy Calories Don't Count. Welcome to episode number 25 of the Food is Not a Four-Letter Word podcast. How are ya? We are going to start this show like we start all of our shows with our three deep breaths. So please play along. I know you really want to. Let's take a deep breath in and exhale. And again, take another deep breath in and exhale. One more time, deep breath all the way down to your toes. And exhale all the air out of your body. Whew. Coming back to you, coming back to your center, coming back to your source. It's amazing how simple and easy it is to just take a beat, take a breath, and reclaim your balance, reclaim your center, your connection to your source, to get your head on straight, regardless of what's going on in the world at the moment, in your life at the moment, and how often we just neglect this. I find myself doing this over and over and over again with longtime clients, you know, with Pilates clients, with Happy Calories clients, with my friends. You know, it's just, let's just take a beat and take a breath. It's so simple. It's so easy. And it is so overlooked. This literally has the power to change your life, because in just that split second, not only do you get the physiological benefits that you get from taking in oxygen, and there's that metaphysical perspective of the breath of life, you know, all of that stuff, but also just that half a second of recalibrating, just not acting out of reaction, pulling back to your center, pulling back to your wisdom, so that the next statement, next action, next step, whatever it is in your life, is coming from a place of empowerment and of purpose. And it's just so profound. And that's why I start the show with three deep breaths. I do it over and over and over again, hopefully to impart to you that it's really that important. It's really that important that I would start every episode with it. And also, you know, it helps me ground myself. So that's no small thing. For those of you that are new, I will do the quick disclaimers really fast, so you kind of know what you're getting yourself into here on this show. My name is Carmela Ramalia. The G is silent. I am Italian. I am an actress. I am passionate. I am very passionate about things relating to healing all of the pain, shame, and dysfunction around food, exercise, your body, and your weight. And so I have a tendency to go into character voices, or get on my high horse, or get snarky. In other words, go full Carmela on you. And that is one of the reasons that I take those three deep breaths to, you know, like, just bring it down a thousand, girlfriend. It's okay. But also, I need you to know that if you ever hear me say something that sounds like I'm being snarky or mean to you or to someone that you know, just that kind of persona, that kind of character, I get it. I know how cutting, how deeply soul-sucking, painfully just awful all of this food, exercise, and body drama is. At 17, I was hospitalized for anorexia at 80 pounds. By 25, I'd been in treatment 4 more times. At 30, somehow I'd managed to get up to 200 pounds, and I was suicidal. And it was a really, really awful, dark time in my life. And I couldn't, you know, kill myself because I could not do that to my mother. So I absolutely had to find a different way to live because I could not keep living the way that I was living. And in that moment, in that shift, whatever happened, that was the beginning of my journey to freedom, peace, and happiness. I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I move my body in ways that feel good. I have no stress, no muss, no fuss around food, exercise, my body, or my weight. And people seem to think that I look pretty darn good, especially given my age. So this stuff works. And this is the stuff that I teach you. I teach you how to get out of what I call diet drama land and into this state of happy calories world. Diet drama land is based on that transaction-based model of diet and exercise, where you have to pay a price to eat. That price is exercise or weight gain. All of the assumptions, all of the dysfunctional behavior, all of the just drama comes out of that model. It's a transaction-based model. We switch to a relationship-based model of happy calories don't count, where there is no relationship between diet and exercise. The relationship is between you and your body. Really heal and cultivate that relationship with your body. Everything else just, kind of falls into place just naturally and easily and from a place of freedom. It's amazing. So that's what this is about. And when I get into those character voices or I get snarky, I'm not being dismissive toward you personally, if that's something that I'm calling you out on. I am angry at the underlying mindset that keeps you stuck. That's where the energy is directed. It's never directed toward you or someone you might know. It's always directed to the mindset or the fallacy or the message that is keeping you trapped, keeping you locked in that prison. I'm all about freedom and empowerment so that you can live the life you want to live with as much freedom, abundance, joy, happiness, love, all that good stuff. So that's what this show is all about. It's personal development, specifically as it relates to food, exercise, your body, and your weight. Now, it's a framework, right? It's these personal development ideas. And they're great to talk about. But then what happens when the rubber meets the road? How do you actually do this in life? And so to help you navigate, to help you try to figure out how to do this in life, this show, what I do is I'll see something or I'll hear something. And sometimes it makes me angry. Sometimes it's just a mild curiosity. But I feel like I can speak to it on this show to help you see the matrix for what it is. Literally, it's like trying to get you out of the matrix. It is so hard to get out of diet drama land because it's everywhere and you don't even realize that you're in it. So that's what the bulk of this particular episode is going to be about. I've got other episodes where I go through the five steps, I go through the background. So feel free to pick and choose among the podcast episodes at your leisure. I've got a webinar at my website, CarmelaRamalia.com. If you can't spell my last name, just go to happycaloriesdontcount.com. I've got books, I've got all sorts of resources to help you with the five steps, with the framework to actually start from the beginning to get you out of diet drama land. But unlike the movie The Matrix, when the heroes pull you out of the matrix and you are out, with diet drama land, it's constantly trying to suck you back in. So that's essentially what I do here. I just over and over and over again point out a mindset that's going to keep you kind of stuck in that dysfunctional relationship with food and exercise, that dysfunctional mindset that's trapping you and keeping you limited in your joy. I just keep calling it out in different ways, in different areas, because it's everywhere. It's kind of like, I shouldn't use an analogy that I'm not super familiar with. I'm going down the Harry Potter route. So you know how there are like the magic people and then the muggles? Well, there are magic people and muggles in every kind of circumstance. And so in anything that you see in the world, can be looked at from a diet drama land perspective or from a happy calories don't count perspective. That's what I'm doing here on these podcasts. I'm bringing these topics, several of which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, to show you how you can be thinking of it in terms of diet drama land, or you can be thinking of it in terms of the happy calories don't count approach. For those of you who have studied a lot of metaphysics, maybe you have come across something called A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles says that there's only two states, love and fear. Well, in my world, there are two states, happy calories world and diet drama land. And you probably could map the love onto the happy calories perspective and the fear onto the diet drama land perspective. I don't know that it's an exact correlation. It wasn't intentional when I developed the model, but those types of ideas where you're looking at things from one lens, you put on one set of glasses and you see something, and you put on a different set of glasses and you see other things. It's kind of like those tests to see if you're colorblind or not, where they've got just a bunch of little circles together and they're in different shades, different hues of colors. And if you're colorblind, it's really hard to see the words or the picture or the patterns. But if you're not colorblind, they pop out really easily to you. And there are different types of colorblindness, like there's red-green colorblindness and all different kinds of things. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So we're just to set the stage. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's none of this. I'm just trying to help you see dynamics, see things that are going on. Now, one of the reasons it's really, really, really hard to get out of diet drama land, and I keep saying this over and over and over again. One, it's everywhere in terms of the marketing that you see, you know, so whether it is, especially in today's era, right? In the tech age with social media, and you've got your Instagram shots and you got your filters and you've got all this stuff. It's a very image-driven environment, and it is getting more and more professionally, if not through a professional photographer, but at least through a technological app, a manipulated image. So people are photoshopping their images, whether it's just changing the color contrast or the values or the brightening and all the filters that Instagram has. And then some of those other filters that'll take out backgrounds and get rid of your zits and, you know, make your hair a different color, all of that kind of stuff. It's creating this false reality. So we've got that we're contending with, where over and over and over again in the media, we're seeing images of things that aren't really real. And then we're also having the weight loss industry and the fitness industry and the diet industry market their products and services based on the assumptions that come out of the diet and exercise model. So, oh, it's really hard to stay on a diet because it's really hard to feel deprived and you need willpower and, you know, all of this stuff. So here, just do our little program. We just give you pre-portioned, pre-packaged food. You don't have to think about it. The food tastes good. You just eat what the program gives you, and then you just don't think about it the rest of the time, and you just, you know, white knuckle it or whatever. All of these programs, all of their marketing messages are about how they're going to help you override your body's natural instincts, how they're going to help you deal with the drama and the trauma of diet drama land, because that's what this entire reality, like everybody thinks in terms of that. So not only do you have the social media images, you have the marketing messages from the weight loss, fitness, and diet industries, and even other industries as well, like even just snack food that's not necessarily related to specifically dieting, they're going to say, hey, this snack only has 100 calories, you know, that kind of thing. You've got all of that. I think where it is really, really insidious is just the conversations that you have with friends, and also how this mindset gets repeated and amplified through just everyday interactions. And so many people use weight loss, diet, exercise, all of that kind of stuff, that whole model, as they are trying to make points in other topics. So, for example, I have been playing around and talking to people and having classes and stuff and just participating as an observer in a lot of project management type of stuff. So this is completely, you know, it's own thing. There's a whole project management industry, whether it is, you know, project management in terms of IT and tech or marketing or building bridges or whatever. But I was listening to this guy speak, and he was trying to describe the difference in project management approaches. So there's this traditional project management approach that some people will call waterfall. And I'm just going to use these two terms, not because I'm trying to teach a project management, but just because it's easier for you as a listener to follow my train of thought, since I'm back behind the microphone talking with my hands like the good Italian girl that I am, and you can't see me. So I'm actually going to use the terms so that you can follow what I'm saying. So there's this approach often called waterfall, and that is the traditional approach. That is the approach where it's, what is it that we want to build or do or create? And then we're going to list out all of the requirements, everything we need to know, and we're going to build this really great plan, and then we're going to execute this plan. And an example of that type of approach, that kind of approach would be useful for, is like building a bridge. Right? You don't want the bridge to collapse. So you really want to plan really, really well if you're going to build a bridge. Well, I was, you know, part of this class, and the guy was trying to explain the other approach for project management. And another approach for project management is called Agile. And it's called Agile because you're going to be nimble. You know, you're going to be able to move and adapt to change. And an example of something that would work in an Agile environment is all of the tech stuff that's going on, right? It seems like every time you turn around, there's a new app, there's a new something, there's a tech upgrade. And if technology were to follow the same model and the same timeline, using that project management approach of building a bridge, by the time you got the application out or the software out, it would probably already be outdated, right? So this guy is trying to simply talk about different approaches to project management. But what does he do? He starts talking about weight loss. He starts talking about going on a diet. He starts talking about going to the gym. And, you know, there might be different reasons that you might go to the gym. You might want to go to the gym so that you can lose weight. You might go to the gym because you want to bulk up and get strong. You might want to go to the gym X, Y, Z. And so it's fascinating to me how even it doesn't matter the topic, it doesn't matter the industry. It's so often that when someone is trying to make a point in their subject area, they're going to use an example out of fitness, out of weight loss, out of diet. And furthermore, all of those examples come from within the fundamental framework of that diet and exercise model. And so you might not even be thinking about it. You might not, well, if you're actually listening to my podcast, you probably do have drama around food, exercise, your body, and your weight. But the point is that, like, if you're sitting next to someone in a class or a training or, you know, anything like that, and the person next to you has no issues around it, that diet and exercise model is still getting brainwashed into their head. They're still thinking about it. So that's one of those ways it just gets into our collective psyches, and it's so hard to get out. Everybody is thinking in these terms. So for those of you who have been with me for a while, I want to talk about this idea of step one in the Happy Calories Don't Count methodology or framework, because it's called Embrace a Model of Alignment. And And I'm going to do a little bit of an overview background kind of thing so that if anybody out here is a new friend in podcast land, you won't feel completely left out and stuck. But so traditionally, I would say that this is the path that most of my clients follow when they finally get me. I'm like the last house on the left, you know, it's like the buck stops here. You've tried everything else out there and then somehow you finally find me. And it was also the path that I followed too. So I totally understand it. So first what happens is you try the diet and exercise route and it works or it doesn't work or whatever, but you're engaged. You're actually really trying to make changes in your body and make changes in your life through the diet and exercise model. And the diet and exercise model at its core thinks of two things: what you eat, how much you eat, when you eat. So it's all about the food. And then it's about the exercise. How are you burning those calories? In the diet and exercise model, calories are a currency of exchange. It's a transaction-based model, and you pay that price to eat. It's either exercise or weight gain. And so we're trying to avoid the consequences of weight gain. So we're trying to manage our calories in and our exercise out in some sort of balance sheet, dynamic tension, teeter-totter, seesaw kind of manner. You know, there's this dynamic tension between diet and exercise. We're always trying to balance it out. And we're just unsuccessful. And finally, we reach a point where some people just give up and they just kind of accept the fact that, you know, like, well, my body's changed, or I'm just going to be okay with not being the size I want to be because it's just too hard to do the diet and exercise thing. You know, I've got a family I got to take care of. I've got work. I've got this. I've got that. So whatever reason, people just leave the diet and exercise model and are okay with the quote unquote consequences of whatever their body size and shape might be as a result of what that framework suggests that it will be. They go often into their lives that way. And then there are people that get frustrated with the diet and exercise model and it's not working and what do I do? But I'm not really to quote unquote give up yet. You know, I'm still working. And I need to point out that this is actually a good thing. So especially in the era of the body positivity movements and the women's empowerment movements and all of this stuff, to care what you look like and to care what your body looks like can be seen as vain, can be seen as shallow, can be seen as ridiculous when there are so many other more important things in the world to think about. And I call a big, I don't call it BS, but it's like, no, hard stop. I disagree strongly. I cannot disagree more strongly. In fact, from a happy calories don't count perspective, the most important thing in your life is your relationship with your body, is feeling good in your body and feeling good about your body. And the reason that that is because your body is actually the vehicle through which you experience life. It's your physical connection to this life. How you feel in your body and how you feel about your body is the lens through which you are going to filter every experience. So it's critically important. If you don't feel good in your body or about your body, that's negatively going to impact your career. It's going to impact your relationships, your finances, your health, everything. So this is a really, really, really big deal. Now, we might not have understood that on a deep emotional, intellectual level when we were frustrated with the diets and exercise programs not being able to create sustainable results. So then what happens is there's got to be a better way. Like, what's going on? There's got to be another way. So then we'll kind of wander into the bookstore. Well, now everything's online. Back in my day, it was wandering into the bookstore. And you go through the self-help section, right? You go through the personal development. What is stopping me? What is keeping me from achieving my goals? So then there's that whole emotional, motivational, personal development perspective, you know, that you can take into account. And so there they're dealing with your psychology and your mindset and all of that stuff. And then, well, you keep reading, you're trying to apply things. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. You're still hitting your head against the wall. You don't feel that peace yet. It's like, what is that goal I'm looking for? How can I really find freedom from all of this? And right here is a good moment to take a side note that says, all of that stuff you've been doing, all of those, that diet program, that exercise program, all of that personal development work, and even all of the spiritual work, whether it's metaphysics, law of attraction type of stuff, or whether it is spiritual in your framework of faith, all of that work that you have been doing to try to quote unquote solve the problem has all come from within the fundamental context of the diet and exercise model. And that's why you still have that monkey on your back. Ultimately, that diet and exercise model says that if you are not the size or shape you want to be, it's your fault. It's your fault. You are at best unmotivated or undisciplined. At worst, you're lazy or you're stupid because all you need to do is do that diet and exercise program. And you're doing the diet and exercise program and something's not working. So then you try to figure out what's wrong with you. Why can't you be successful on the diet and exercise program? So you start to address these other things. So what Happy Calories Don't Count does is it changes the underlying model. Happy Calories Don't Count, this model of alignment, it takes everything you've already been working with. It takes your food. It takes your exercise. It takes your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs, all the things you've been learning from the metaphysical realms, from those perspectives, from the psychological frameworks, all of that stuff. And what it does is it integrates it into a system that is you. You are a complex system. Your physical body is a complex biological system, but you are not just your body. You are also an emotional system, a mental system, an intellectual system, a spiritual system, all of these things. So in the Happy Calories Don't Count model of alignment, which I admit is difficult to kind of wrap your head around in a podcast format. So there are lots of places where you can see the picture. I've got a picture of the model of alignment in several of my YouTube videos. I've got it in my book, Food is Not a Four-Letter Word. There's a couple of chapters dedicated to that. So all sorts of different places where you can actually get a picture. Now, if you are someplace right now where you're not driving, so please don't do this if you're driving. But if you're someplace where you can actually get a piece of paper and a pencil, get a piece of paper and a pencil right now. You have 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Okay. On that piece of paper, draw 5 circles on top of each other, like stacked up in a vertical line. Circle 1, circle 2, circle 3, circle 4, circle 5. Okay. Since we're dealing with food and exercise, body stuff, I'm giving you 5 circles. This model actually works if you just want to use 4 circles. I'm going to explain that in a second. So this model, you take 1 circle, label it food. Take the other circle, label it exercise. Take the next circle, label it thoughts. The next circle, belief. The next circle, feelings. Thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. All right. If you've only got 4 circles, what you're doing is you're combining the food and exercise circles into 1 circle called action. So essentially, it's the same. It's just that with the food exercise piece, sometimes it's helpful for people to tease apart what's really going on in their psyches if they're specifically thinking about 1 circle being food and 1 circle being exercise. But essentially, what you have is you have a stack of rings, a stack of circles that represent all of the elements of you. You've got your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, and your actions, and you want them congruent. You want them harmonized. You want them in alignment. And when the system of you is in alignment, then energy can flow through the system. So your bioelectrical impulses that animate the human body can flow through your system in an optimized way. Your metabolism, if that's what you want to call metabolism, it can flow through the system that is you in an optimized way. If you're thinking from a spiritual framework, it can be source energy or God force flowing through the system in an optimized way. But if you pull those circles off center, if they're no longer in a vertical line, then you've got disruptions. You have things that can't, the energy can't flow through it. It's like a circuit breaker. And these ideas came from, you know, just a little background, partly of my experience as being a Pilates instructor, is that when you get somebody's body all lined up and the correct muscles are using the correct, you're using the correct muscles to perform an action. So it's like you're using your lats and your deltoids and your arms to lift your arms, not your neck to lift your arms, you know, then your body can move efficiently and effectively. You have less pain, you have more power, life is super great, you feel good in your body. And from a Pilates perspective, I always tell people their circuit breakers are their shoulders and their hips. That's where I'm zeroing in, because that's where 90% of the problem in people's bodies lie. So to take this idea of a system, all right, so bringing it back to how it is in all of these other areas, people will use weight loss as an example in whatever it is they're trying to teach. And that's one of the ways that these ideas just get reinforced in the culture. Even if you don't recognize that it's happening to you, or you get that little twing because you're dealing with these issues, you're suffering, you're in pain, whatever, or the person sitting next to you that, you know, doesn't really care about what they look like, doesn't really care about their body, but they're just getting that, yeah, of course, this is how weight loss works. Of course. So these ideas get re-embedded into the culture. You get re-hypnotized over and over and over again. And that's another reason why it's so hard to get out of diet drama land. So I'm going to flip it a little bit. So at the beginning, I was talking about how I was in this class and he was using an example of exercise and diet to make his example in how there are different types of project management philosophies. Well, I had this person go through, you know, illustrating what a system is, and I'm like, I'm going to pull that into Happy Calories world. I'm going to use that on my podcast. So in this project management philosophy, they have defined a system. A system is a collection of various components that together can produce results not possible by the individual components alone. Can we think about that a little bit more? So they say that the system produces results that can't be produced by the individual components. So diet is not going to help you feel good in and about your body alone. Diet is an individual component. It does not, it affects the whole system, but it can't utilize the power of the system. Exercise is another individual component of the system. Your thoughts are another individual component of the system, as are your beliefs, as are your feelings, all right? Now, it goes on to say that systems are dynamic. They change. They can be optimized. That's right here on this piece of paper. Systems can be optimized. Hey, guess what? You are a system and you can be optimized. They also said that systems are dynamic. They change. And that's one of the great things about the Happy Calories Don't Count approach, is that it changes and adapts. It's a framework that you are able to customize to your specific situation at any point in time, unlike the diet and exercise model. So I'll give you an example of this. So let's say that you're someone, you've been doing your diet and you've been going to the gym, or you know people like this, and then suddenly they break their leg. And then they can't go to the gym. And then they start to feel like they gain weight. And what do they always blame? They say, well, I couldn't get to the gym. So it's they're tying their physical well-being to the exercise, to the component, rather than tying their well-being to the entire system. So if in the Happy Calories Don't Count approach, it's not about the diet and the exercise, so you break your leg. So, okay, well, what else can we do? How else can we be in relationship with your body? What other things can we do to help you feel good in your body and about your body, despite the fact that you've got a broken leg? It's a relationship-based model that addresses all of the components all of the time in any situation that can arise. The same kind of thing happens when people travel. It's they're doing their diet and exercise program, and then they travel, and then they can't eat the food that they normally eat, and then they blame that as the reason that they've gained weight. Or life circumstances change. You know, maybe you've got a job and you've got, you're a single person, you got a job, you got your diet, you got your workouts, your things are great. Then suddenly you're married and you have three kids and you have absolutely no time for yourself. And then it's the, well, I just don't have time for myself, that because I don't have time to do that diet or that exercise program, that is the reason that people think that they are gaining weight and unable to create that physical the physical shape, the physical health, the physical vibrancy that they're looking for. It's because that diet and exercise model is just one note. It's what you eat and what you do for exercise, and that it can't adapt to the different changing lifestyle, the different changes that happen as you live life. So systems are dynamic. So a happy calorie system, it's a dynamic. Another way to think about it is diet drama land is an equation. Happy calories don't count world is a system. So systems are dynamic. And here's the other thing. Systems are non-linear in responsiveness. A change in input does not produce a predictable change in the output. All right. So right there, that's going to give you a little bit of grace, because with the diet and exercise model, what they say is eat this, you should lose weight. And then what happens? Sometimes, oftentimes you don't, or maybe you do for a couple of days, or maybe you do for a couple of weeks, but then it's not sustainable. You might still be doing that same action, but your body's not responding the same way. And that is because your body is not an input, get an output. It's an unpredictable output. Your body is not an algorithm. Your body is not a black box. Your body is not a caloric balance sheet. Your body is a complex system of living intelligence. It knows what it needs to create an optimized state of health, vitality, well-being, beauty, and joy. You know this every time you cut your finger, every time you stub your toe, anytime you get a little ouchy, your body starts to heal itself. We just need to connect with our body and develop that relationship with our body. So when you think in terms of systems, it's a completely different way of thinking about health and well-being. It's a completely different model. It's a completely different framework. It's a completely different approach. Just like waterfall and agile, it's a different way of looking at it. It's a different lens, a different pair of glasses you put on to view the situation. So I'm going to end with one other little sticky thing where people might get stuck. Okay. So I talk a lot in Happy Calories Don't Count about how to feel better. Let that be your guide, because it's not rule-based. You know, we've got five steps, but the steps aren't rules. They're not like you do this diet, do this exercise program. These are the things that you do to be successful. Happy Calories Don't Count is about cultivating relationships and cultivating intention and cultivating communication. And this is one of the ways that it really heals things like emotional eating, eating disorders, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of mental and emotional and spiritual dysfunction gets cleaned up, because we recognize that all of the angst is coming from that transaction-based model that disconnects us from our body. And when we can trust our body, we can trust that it will guide us. It will tell us what to eat. It'll tell us how much to eat. And how do we know when we've when we're when we've eaten everything, you know, when we're satisfied? Well, because to continue to eat just doesn't feel better anymore. And this is one of the ways I had mentioned emotional eating. Emotional eating gets really, there's a lot of drama around emotional eating. And again, that's because people are trying to heal emotional eating from within the context of the diet and exercise model. Like, you only get so many calories to eat, so to eat for emotional reasons would be silly because it would negatively impact the caloric balance sheet. But if you look at it from the perspective of, well, even eating for physical hunger is eating for an emotional reason, and that's because being hungry doesn't feel good. So all eating is emotional. And so what you're doing is you're looking to eat to feel better. Now, here's a caveat. There's a difference between eating to feel better and eating to not feel bad. And the difference is not between better and bad. The difference is between feeling and not feeling. We can never not feel. That's another rabbit hole we can go down at a different time. So this idea of eating to feel better. And so eating to feel better, exercising to feel better, going outside, taking 3 deep breaths to feel better. All the actions that you do are to feel better. Now, I speak about this a lot. And then what I'll hear is I'll hear someone say something, well, yeah, I just feel better when I'm 20 pounds lighter. Yeah, I just feel better in my body when I'm size whatever. I just feel better when I'm more fit. And that's a different kind of better. Again, that's kind of going back into that diet and exercise model, because what you're doing is you are attaching the feeling to a future end result. That's like that waterfall model. You know, it's like you're attaching your, I'll feel better when I can cross that bridge. I just want to cross that bridge because I feel better on the other side of that bridge, right? Whereas the happy calories don't count approach is what can you do right now to feel better right now? Because if you are 50 pounds overweight, you're not going to lose the 50 pounds tomorrow. You're not going to lose the 50 pounds this minute. That 50 pounds, it's going to come off in time and space. And so you don't want like that time and space. And there are a lot of people who have experienced losing There are people who lose massive amounts of weight. And once the weight is off, they still don't feel any better about themselves because their core self-esteem issues weren't really about the weight. So this thing about what can you do to feel better right now? What can you do to feel better right now? Right now, to feel better, it might be to take 3 deep breaths. Right now, to feel better, it might be go for a walk. Right now, to feel better, it might be get some work done. You might have a cluttery house, and so it's messing with your energy. Or you might have a report that's due for school or for work, and you've been procrastinating. So to feel better, it might be to do that and just get it off your plate. To feel better right now, it might be to take a nap. It might be to go for a run. And how do you know when you're done running? When to continue to run doesn't feel better anymore. You know, that it's this idea to feel better right now in the moment. So that's another thing I wanted to draw your attention to. I didn't think it was enough to warrant an entire podcast all on its own. But it's another thing that I see out there when I'm trying to speak these principles and teach you how to transition out of diet drama land into a place of freedom, peace, and happiness around food, exercise, your body, and your weight, and also create an optimized state of health and well-being to create those sustainable results, because that's the only reason we were doing this anyway, right? And if to take it one step further, you only want anything you want, including the body that you want, because you think having it will make you happy. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring that happiness into the present moment, because then you actually do get what you were ultimately seeking. And all of those ancillary goals, they just appear and they just develop and you just achieve them or manifest them or create them or whatever your terminology is, whatever framework you're using in time and space as they unfold, as you're working from that place of peace and joy. What can I do right now to feel better? So my friends, I think that's it for me rambling right now. You can noodle on all of that. And as always, if you have questions, reach out to me. You know, I'm all over the internet, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, the podcast, my website. If you can't spell my name, happycaloriesdon'tcount.com. Super easy to find me. And you are not alone. There is help. There is hope. You can do this. You can create a body and a life you love. You can be free from all of that nonsense and still feel like you look good too. It is not vain. It is very, very important. It is central to our experience of life because our body is the vehicle through which we experience life. So you have a super great day, and I will talk to you later. Take care. Bye. If you enjoyed this program, help it out. Give it a like, subscribe, follow, share. You know the drill. If you want to learn more about me, my books, programs, and services, visit my website, CarmelaRamalia.com. And don't worry, if you can't spell my name, you can also always find me at HappyCaloriesDon'tCount. Take care.